Welcome one and all to another episode here at the Damage Report. I am John Iadarola, still against all odds, your host for the foreseeable future, but very lucky to be joined today by co-host Evelina Sabrina. Sabrina, welcome back to the show.
Morning, John. Good morning.
Good morning. You are so happy this morning, and honestly, I need it. I like the energy. Let's keep that up.
Keep it up.
We have got not only an awesome rundown in an objective sense, it's indisputable, nobody can argue with me about that, but we also have one that I think is arguably well suited for you in that Disney has been very much in the news recently.
Yep.
Maybe not for the reasons it would prefer. They've become like the rights punching bag, the target of most of their conspiracy theories there these days. But we're gonna be breaking that down in a little bit. So very excited to have you on. Due to your past experience and expertise in the world of the mouse.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. We got other stuff that we're gonna be talking about along the way though. Madison Cawthorn found the one thing, I guess even on the right now you're not allowed to say, he found like the one thing that can actually get him in trouble and face a little bit of discipline, which we're gonna be breaking down a little bit later on. We're gonna be acknowledging Trans Day of Visibility. The right has been doing it too, not in a good way though. And so we're gonna be identifying some of their attacks. Chris Rock breaks his silence and a whole lot more besides. Oh, and also, I don't know if you guys hang out on Late Stage Capitalism subreddit on Reddit, but they re-upped this old little clip from a documentary about mega yachts. And I really want to get Sabrina's response to it because it's illuminating in just like a 30-second clip. So we're gonna be closing out the show with that. So I apologize, you're watching now, you kind of gotta stick through to the end to see that clip. And if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button along the way, that would be great so people know we're live. But with all that said, Sabrina, you ready to do this thing?
Let's go.
Let's go, let's do it right now.
The sexual perversion that goes on in Washington, I mean, it being kind of a young guy in Washington, remember the average age is probably 60 or 70. And I look at all these people, a lot of them that I've looked up to through my life, always paid attention to politics, guys that, then all of a sudden you get invited to like, well, hey, we're gonna have kind of a sexual get together at one of our homes, you should come. And I'm like, what did you just ask me to come to? Yeah. And then you realize they're asking you to come to an orgy.
Yeah.
Or the fact that there's some of the people that are leading on the movement to try and remove addiction in our country, and then you watch them do a key bump of cocaine right in front of you, and it's like, wow, this is wild.
Okay, so you might have seen that clip by now. That's Madison Cawthorn, I guess, trying to seem cool on this show that he was appearing on, talking about how like 75 and 80 year old crusty wrinkled old Republicans have been asking him to do coke and engage in group sex or wife swapping or something. I don't know some of the terminology he's using. I guess I'm not that cool. I don't sling terms like key bump that often, but he apparently is familiar with these things, although only via the invitations he's received. But anyway, somehow against all odds, that clip that you just saw has produced more condemnation for Cawthorn from the right than all of the other horrendous things that he's said and done, which we will remind you of. But no, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is speaking out because apparently many members of the Republican caucus have been speaking out. Kevin McCarthy says there's a lot of different things that can happen when it comes to Madison Cawthorn, but I just told him he's lost my trust. He's gonna have to earn it back. I mean, he's got a lot of members very upset. You can't just make statements out there. He changes what he tells, and that's not becoming of a congressman. He did not tell the truth. That's unacceptable. And specifically in terms of Madison Cawthorn not telling the truth, Kevin McCarthy goes on to say in the interview, he claims he watched people do cocaine. Then when he comes in, he tells me, he says he thinks he saw maybe a staffer in a parking garage from 100 yards away. It's just frustrating. There's no evidence behind his statements. I told him you can't make statements like that as a member of Congress that affects everybody else and the country as a whole. And so he also says that Madison Cawthorn admitted that he made up the thing about the invitations to the sex parties. Now, notably, it's Kevin McCarthy telling us that Madison Cawthorn said that. Madison Cawthorn, who's a guy who loves to brag about his own aggression, passion, all that, can't seem to work up the courage to admit that he lied publicly himself, Sabrina. But isn't it weird that this is the thing that Kevin McCarthy and the Republican caucus is like aggrieved about?
Since when do Republicans care about other Republicans not telling the truth? Why are they getting so up in arms about this story? And it's that it's so outrageous. Like a normal person would be able to just like brush it off and say like, oh, that's just nonsense. Are we getting self-reports here? What is happening? It's just ignore it. Clearly it's outrageous, but maybe House of Cards wasn't that far from the truth after all.
It's entirely possible. So actually, well, why don't we start there? So I'm curious about your thoughts. Fundamentally, was Madison Cawthorn lying? Or was he telling some version of what he thinks the truth is? Has he been asked by politicians that he looks up to, 70 and 80 year old politicians that he looks up to, was he asked to go to a, I forget what weird term he used for it, but like a sexual party or something like that?
I don't know. I don't think so. I would hope not. I would not want to know that guest list. I don't want to imagine it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't believe so. Look, the idea that there's drug use going on, obviously, the drug laws and the vilification of drug use and everything, that's for keeping the pores down. That's not gonna stop rich people from doing these things. So I definitely buy that. And the idea that they're getting up to all sorts of nonsense, I think that that makes sense. But in this area, I think we need to bear in mind a couple of things. One, that Madison Cawthorn is a massive liar in general, which doesn't mean that any particular thing he says isn't true, but it's important to bear in mind. And then in deciding if this guy's a liar, is this a lie? Well, then you have to think, why would he tell this lie? Why would he implicate members of his own party in doing these things that go against all of what they pretend are their values? And I think it actually makes sense as long as you bear in mind that in addition to being a liar, Madison Cawthorn ain't that bright. He doesn't even necessarily know what he's doing when he says what he says. I think he wanted to basically signal to the QAnoners, like they do all the time, all the stuff with Ketanji Brown Jackson about the pedophilia and everything, that was all just to signal to the QAnon base. I think he liked the idea of saying there are elite sex parties going on because that's a QAnon thing. The issue is he seems to have missed that they're supposed to be saying the Democrats are doing that. And obviously Democrats aren't inviting him to sex parties, especially when he says these are people he looks up to. What do we think, he's looking up to Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters? No, he's looking up to like the Republicans. And so I think he stumbled and bumbled into implicating his own party in trying to advance this QAnon conspiracy theory.
I could definitely see that, but you're right. It wouldn't make sense for him to kind of implicate like his own party, because you're right. That is supposed to be, you know, like that's a conspiracy theory of the Democratic Party. So maybe it was just a giant fat lie to get that sound clip. Because look, now we're talking about him. Win for him, I guess.
Maybe there's potentially some consequences. That's honestly why I'm most interested in this. No, it was sorry. What were you gonna say?
No, yeah, just a little bit. He probably just wanted like that big alpha bro podcast moment.
Ugh, God, there's nothing alpha about being on a podcast. And I say this as a guy who's put out like damn near 1,000 episodes of a podcast. It isn't making me alpha, but anyway, here's the thing. Does it bother me that this is the thing that gets the Republicans to have an issue with Madison Cawthorn? Yes, very much so. The idea that this is the thing that leads Kevin McCarthy to say the Constitution gives you the age when you can serve in Congress, but when you're in Congress, you should respect the institution and you should focus on the work that you should do. He said that about the Coke flesh pit thing. Not about, you know, when Mr. Cawthorn like a week ago called Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine a thug and his country incredibly evil as it's being invaded, or when he brought a knife to a school board meeting, or when he brought a gun through airport security, or when he drove multiple times apparently with a revoked license, which he's now facing a May court date on a misdemeanor count that theoretically carries jail time, but he's a congressman, so I'm sure he's gonna be perfectly fine, which is also the reason he did it in the first place. He knew that he'd be perfectly fine. He didn't get in trouble. He didn't get criticized when he was posting these sorts of photos about how awesome it was go to the vacation house of the Führer. He was just, it was a bucket list thing to be where Hitler had been. Now, notably, he does say that it was a site of evil later, But who the hell refers to him as the Führer? That is such a bizarre thing, let alone the allegations of sexual predation that women at his college have said, or the guy that got into the car accident with him saying that Madison Cawthorn lied about him being responsible for it. There's a lot of really disgusting stuff. Madison Cawthorn telling a group of people on video that another January 6th might be necessary at some point. All of these things, Sabrina, it's the coke and sex thing that gets the Republicans to actually care.
You wonder how people like this get elected, but then you see other, you know, Republicans out there, like, I don't know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and you're like, no, there's people out there who are voting for these people and like them.
Yeah.
It's scary right now.
It's scary that there is a desire for it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like that at all. But anyway, bear in mind, this is Kevin McCarthy who, he's not a wrangler. He's not a leader, truly. He wants to be. He desperately wants to be Speaker of the House. And honestly, we live in a terrible timeline, so it's likely that that's going to happen within a year. But bear in mind that in the past, he didn't have a problem with Paul Gosar posting an animated video showing him literally murdering Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He didn't mind, all of everything with Matt Gaetz about the sex trafficking and all of that. Doesn't have a problem with it. Doesn't seem to care about that. Marjorie Taylor Greene, when she spoke at a white supremacist conference, he was kind of against that a little bit, but he's been against any consequences for her from the beginning, up to and including when she was thrown off of her committees. And if they do take power in these midterm elections, which they're likely to do because the Democrats are garbage, she's going to be back on her committees at that point. And so this guy is not a leader. Even if right now it looks like he's finally taking some responsibility for his caucus. First of all, there's been criticism, but no actual consequences. He's not censuring him even, and even that is just words. And even then, it's only because he was criticizing Republicans, and Republicans are worried that their wives are gonna be questioning them about going to sex parties and stuff like that. This is not about respect for the institution or upholding your ethical obligations as a congressman. It's none of that. He made things a little bit hard for the Republicans. And for that, he gets a minimal amount of criticism, and then they're gonna be moving on. I know you were having some tech problems, Sabrina. I don't know how much of that you actually heard, but.
No, I heard it all. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to his future. Like you said, I don't think that he's actually gonna have any real consequences from this. Maybe a little backlash, you know, this week in the media, but for his career, probably not.
Yeah. By the way, some people in his area seem like they're turning against him, although it is in the context of a contested primary. So bear that in mind. First of all, I had not known this. I think this is fascinating. So he represents a particular congressional district. He had been in the run-up to this congressional cycle considering switching to a different district, with the reason being, or at least the theory is, that it was a bigger media market. So if he were to run in it, and if he were to be a congressman there, then in the future, if he were to do some sort of statewide run, that would be a bigger launching pad for that. But then there was some redistricting issues, like around the census. And so he has to come back now to his old district. And so if I were a person living there, I would kind of have a problem with that. The fact that this guy who spends all of his time going on podcasts and doing Instagram posts didn't even want to continue to represent me, but now he has to, so he comes crawling back because the one he was interested in is gonna be more Democratic and he's scared of getting his ass whooped. So I don't know, the whole thing just seems bad. The New York Times now profiling people like this guy, John Harper, he was at a Republican event in Mr. Cawthorn's district, who said, I voted for Madison, but I think I'll pass now because of integrity issues. I was fooled last time, I won't be fooled again. Or Michelle Woodhouse, who's the elected Republican chair of the district, who's a former staunch supporter, she says, but is now running against him in a primary, who said people of Western North Carolina are tired of the antics. And in fact, there are 7 Republican challengers in this primary. Thus far, they haven't raised significant money, and he's still at, like, I think 52% in the most recent poll of likely Republican voters. So he's still doing okay. It's really, I think, gonna come down to how sustained is this criticism? Do a lot of Republicans get involved to try to get this wild card out of the picture? Tom Tillis is supporting one of his primary challengers, but so far you haven't seen like Kevin McCarthy moving that direction, let alone Donald Trump, who still apparently loves Madison Cawthorn.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that we'll see how much time passes between now and the election, and people might just forget that this ever happened.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. Yeah, and for Madison Cawthorn, that might be the best consequence. Madison Cawthorn has a number of defenders, most notably perhaps Donald Trump, who has liked Madison Cawthorn for a long time. And the weird comments about sex parties and everything are hardly gonna turn off Donald Trump. That's his dream after all. But he also has a new defender, Roger Stone, who's responded to the development in this story that apparently Madison Cawthorn admitted behind closed doors to Kevin McCarthy that he was lying about the cocaine and the sex parties and all that. This post was put up, I believe, on Gab, and in it he says, Congressman Madison Cawthorn just told me that he has not retracted his claims about sex-fueled orgies among DC elites. Why would anyone believe anything said by Rhino Kevin McCarthy or repeated by CNN? Nothing reported by CNN is accurate or true, which, look, I have problems with CNN like everyone does. That seems like a bit of a broad-based statement, the idea that if they say something, it's necessarily false. But in addition to this being Roger Stone sticking with Madison Cawthorn on the sex parties comment, the thing about that I find so interesting is Roger Stone seems to have an objective here, and I believe it's the same objective that Madison Cawthorn started with, which is to appeal to the QAnoners, because you'll notice in that comment, maybe we can put it back up again, he says the claims were about sex-fueled orgies among DC elites, which is not technically untrue, but specifically it was about Republicans doing this. And so Roger Stone's not ready to move on from that claim, but he really would like to retarget it at anonymous elites, vague in general. This isn't about like Mitch McConnell specifically putting on like a long nose mask and tickling someone with a feather. It's not about that. It's about vague elites. They love the vague accusations of weird sexual perversion and stuff like that.
No, absolutely. He's trying to change the story when the highlight of the story is that it is Republican conservatives who are supposedly engaging in this. So I think you're absolutely right that they are trying to muddy the details to appeal to some of these conspiracy theorists, the Q followers.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, Adam noticed in the chat, if we could put up that Roger Stone thing one more time, I actually missed one thing in this, which is he says the claims are specifically about sex-fueled orgies, as opposed to what, like Rockstar energy drink-fueled orgies? Like, yeah, no, sex is a pretty important part about fueling an orgy, I hear anyway. I'm not invited to many parties in the DC area. But anyway, bear in mind that Roger Stone, you can't necessarily trust him either. Like CNN, he says a lot of things that aren't true. He's also, by the way, been a key advisor to Trump. He received a presidential pardon shortly before Trump left office, never forget. That Roger Stone, who in full public view committed multiple crimes, got off because he knew Donald Trump. So when he talks about like DC elites and all that, no, you love DC elites when they're allowing you to get away with your crimes. He was convicted of lying to investigators, obstructing a congressional probe, and witness tampering, which he did literally in and out of the courtroom. There's no dispute that he committed these crimes, but he's an elite and he knows elites, so he gets away with it. And by the way, in terms of the content of this story, Stone was forced to resign from Republican presidential candidate Bob Dole's campaign way back in 1996 after the National Enquirer and the Star reported that he and his wife Nydia had advertised in swingers magazine seeking group sex. So again, that I think is a horrible reason to make someone resign from a campaign, even if it's like literally one of the worst people in the country. But like you'll notice that Roger Stone, who has previously faced vilification because he likes swinging or whatever he does, which is perfectly fine. There's no reason to kink shame. He's not like defending the sex parties. He wants to weaponize it against his political opponents. A guy who himself has lost opportunities because he loved, you know, for instance, like there's like he was very open about wanting to see like men have sex with his wife and stuff like that. That's totally fine. But then why aren't you then extending that same tolerance to other Republicans? It just makes me sick. Anyway,
I knew it was a self-report.
Of course, they have to tell on themselves. Anyway, and by the way, if we could just jump ahead of these last two tweets, they're going to stick with Madison Cawthorn. They're not going to. This is why the admission of lying was behind closed doors, so that Kevin Steinle can say they hate being outed. That's why they're lying about Madison, or Cawthorn is a clown. But this isn't the type of story one would make up. It's too weird. That's literally a Kramer quote from Seinfeld. Weird stories can be made up too, actually. That actually happens.
Their main quote goal as a company is now to teach kindergartens in Florida that they can in fact change their gender just by wishing it so. It makes you wonder if kids in Florida can consent to chemical castration with no parental involvement. If that can be true, what exactly can't they consent to? Once we set that standard, Disney didn't say, but maybe there's another agenda here. Nor did they explain their fixation on the sexuality of children. But it's worth pointing out that four Disney employees were just busted in a major human trafficking sting, including one employee who allegedly sent sexually explicit texts to a detective posing as a 14-year-old.
Okay, and Tucker Carlson, of course, would never affiliate with someone who had been involved or implicated in child sex trafficking. Oh, whoops, actually had Matt Gaetz on his show last night. 1 year he banished him, but then he brought him back. You get 1 year off Tucker Carlson for the sex trafficking, and then you get embraced once again. Now look, admittedly, in that video, there's a lot going on, and it's not gonna be possible for us to respond to all of the insane claims about Disney that Tucker Carlson is saying there, but we can focus on the highlights, which is that because Disney, after weeks of advocacy from sane, compassionate people, is now coming out and saying, okay, you've twisted our arms. We don't love DeSantis and the don't say gay thing. I guess we're aggrieved by it. That has instantly morphed for Tucker Carlson and the right into they explicitly support at will, no parental involvement, chemical castration of kids. And that's not even the total plot. What else is Disney looking for? Like, he is clearly trying to say that Disney, which makes shows like Moon Knight, is in this game to have sex with kids. That's what he's saying. They're groomers because everyone that the right disagrees with is now a pedophile. That is how this game is played. They have so dumbed down their base that they have gotten them to accept a worldview where anyone who disagrees with you about literally anything obviously has to be the most evil person in the world. And what does the most evil person in the world want to do? Have sex with kids, possibly cannibalize them as well. And so they just label all of their political opponents as pedophiles. Tucker Carlson knows that none of this is true, that none of this is founded in anything, but he has so little respect for American politics or for his viewers that he is eagerly engaging in this. Multiple segments over this week about an ever-evolving theory of Disney, which is objectively a late to the party, reluctant supporter of LGBTQ rights and representation, who still largely erases the entire community from all of their collected artistic work. Now they are the sex criminals, Sabrina. Now I understand you're not much of a fan of Disney in a lot of different ways, and Disney's done a lot of bad stuff and continues to. But can we like restrain our criticism to the universe of the real?
The fact that he would try to like group Disney, who, like you said, they have been very reluctant to even like acknowledge the LGBTQ community in their media over the years. They've been forced and pushed by their own employees and by a lot of their fan base. I mean, gosh, even when I worked at Disney, it's not unreasonable to say that like more than half of the people who worked there were queer in some way or another. So it has been really disappointing to see their very slow progress. And now that they finally had their arm twisted over this evil bill, the fact that Tucker Carlson would try to vilify the company as a whole as if they've been like this martyr for gay rights this whole time is wild. And it is true that, you know, those four gross trafficker people in Florida like did work for Disney. The fact that he would try to associate that with Disney as a whole is wild. I mean, look, he's still appealing to, you know, people who are very, very religious in the church and whatnot. You don't see him like disavowing the church altogether just because of some very vile sex crimes in that department.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's good to have an expert on the show. Look, what percentage, when you were, like, for instance, a mascot, what percentage of your day would you say was devoted to attempting to traffic children? 10%, 40%?
It's hard to say. It was so long ago. But I would say a solid 0%.
Okay. Give or take. And you played Stitch. Very appealing for kids. Kids love Stitch and his crazy antics.
Yeah, six giant blue sex icon, you know?
God. Anyway, look, they love this. They love the insanity. Again, they don't talk about crazy things like by accident. They want politics to be as far away, like the focus to be as far away from things that are real and true. Politics is supposed to be about fixing actual problems. It's about, famously, who gets what, where, and why? Like policy, that's what it's about. That is not what any of the right-wing activity is about. And their media is all fundamentally the same. One show might look like Tucker Carlson, one might look like Ben Shapiro. The strategy is exactly the same, and the outcome is exactly the same. They want politics to be absurd. And the issue is, I know some people might say, well, John, if you can identify that, if you clearly, all of you, like Sabrina and people on TYT and everything, if you're so like frustrated with this, then just don't engage. But the issue is that while their strategy is absurd and they don't care about it, it's all designed as a distraction, they are targeting people, vulnerable communities that need to be defended. And honestly, I'm gonna say, I have a frustration. This is not specifically with our audience, but with our writ large side of the political spectrum, in that when the right focuses on attacks on gay Americans, or more recently, generally trans Americans, do you know what the right wing base does? They pay attention. People watch in droves to hear some of the least intelligent, least witty, least funny people in America drone on about conspiracy theories about the trans community. Ben Shapiro is gonna get hundreds of thousands of views attacking the trans community. And this community desperately needs representation and defense. And do you think that the passion of our side measures up to those who are engaged in this years long, never ending assault? No, people don't care nearly as much. And that puts us on an uneven playing field that has real world consequences, rights being stripped away. Ron DeSantis signed the Don't Say Gay bill. We tried to fight against it. We tried to rally people against it. They won on that. And what is the Democratic response? What's the response from our side? Maybe we'll pay attention a little bit. I don't know, politics is kind of boring. Like that's frustrating when you consider the stakes, Sabrina.
No, we're gonna get a rainbow chalk sidewalks, and then they're gonna be scrubbed away once, you know, Pride Month is over, as we've been seeing over the last few years. And also, happy Trans Day of Visibility, everybody. Yes.
Yeah, and we're gonna focus on a little bit on some of the good news, but we're gonna put it in context. It is, the good news is more like that chalk rainbow in effect in some ways than it is here, where literally entire communities are being written out of existence, out of acknowledgement. And why? Ron DeSantis does not lose sleep over gay 4-year-olds. This is a ruse. It is a ruse to protect the rich from accountability. Because a right-wing base that is constantly frothing at the mouth over groomers is not paying attention to the fact that the rich in this country are getting away with murder. They're not paying attention to the fact that their wages never, like, forget about the inflation now, never keep up with inflation. They lose ground every single year. The odds of them being able to own a house continually slip away with every year that passes by. Student loan debt piles up. Your ability to afford health insurance becomes more and more difficult. But how are you gonna pay attention to all that when you're so angry about trans swimmers in high schools? That is the obvious transparent strategy. And it is so difficult to get people to acknowledge it, because they, by design, are targeting issues that play into the most primal base and, in many cases, disgusting emotions that humans experience.
Have you read the bill, Disney? And the answer is no, or maybe they have, but here's the thing. Is Disney and Bob Chapek, they're held hostage by their gay employees. It's just that simple. They are. They're in the creative world, and I'm not accusing them of this, just the way it is. They're in the arts and entertainment, and there's a disproportionate amount of gay people that work in that community And so they're making a huge mess of it. And so Disney is pandering to their employees because they don't want more employee walkouts. They still need to keep their movie production on time. And they know, I mean, it would basically be like Remington, or it would be like any major ammunition manufacturer basically not coming out against an anti-gun bill. Again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It's the way it is. Disney has a lot of gay people that work for them. Now, for whatever reason, these gay people feel really motivated, the employees of Disney, that six-year-olds need to learn about their incredibly graphic sexual activity. Why that's a concern? I don't know. It's creepy and it's weird.
The fact that he is pretending to have that concern is, in fact, creepy and weird. No one is teaching six-year-olds incredibly graphic sexual stuff about anything. About gay people, about straight people. Acknowledging that gay families, that gay individuals exist, gay parents exist, is not graphically sexual. Any more so than me telling you right now, I have straight parents. Did I offend the censors there? Was that too graphic for you? And he knows that. Even Charlie Kirk, with his massive skull and his tiny brain ensconced in the absolute center of it, understands that. Or maybe he doesn't, honestly. I don't know which is worse, and I don't want to give him more credit than he deserves. But he knows that none of this is about graphic sexual content. This is about basic acknowledgement of people's fundamental humanity. And their base does not accept that. This is not about like a chart of different sexual positions. There's nothing graphic about this. This is about identifying that people exist. That's it. It's so gross.
Did you say he had a massive skill or a massive skull?
Which do you think? And again, I don't care. The proportions of his face are a little bit interesting, but they're the least bad part about him. I would wear a hat a lot too, if I were. Anyway, it's not. I don't want to focus on that. I don't want to get off track. They're already doing enough to distract us from what's really happening. But anyway. That clip that we just showed you is bad. Sabrina's having all sorts of issues with her camera these days. But anyway, that clip that we just showed you is bad enough. But that he's mostly just lying. He mostly just doesn't seem to care that they have gay employees that up until this point they've completely ignored for decade after decade after decade. That doesn't bother him. We're going to move on to our C block now, because this is where it gets very worrying, very dangerous in this clip.
So I'm about done with this whole topic. My patience has run thin. And so here's my challenge for every man across America. This is happening in your local school board. It's not a matter of showing up to meetings and all this. You need to intervene. You need to show up to the sporting event. Like, this is not happening, actually. You're not competing against my daughter. She has XX chromosomes. You have XY chromosomes. Get off the court. Get out of the pool. You're not, it's not going to happen anymore.
Okay, so they're pretending there that up until this point, as they've been talking literally every day about the trans community, a community that they know nothing about and have no curiosity in ever finding out anything about. They've gone a couple years now at this point, passing legislation attacking this community, have never found time to actually talk to a trans person. Weird that they weren't able to book that. Now they're done with that, Sabrina. Just passing legislation to destroy these families and all that, lock people up. That's not enough anymore. Now he has a challenge to the men. And if we know one thing, it's that being a true man is about attacking high school athletes. He wants them to intervene, to get involved. It's not happening. It's not up to the schools anymore. It's not up to the sporting associations. You as an individual get to decide what's happening. And how do you think that plays out in practice? What do you think he's calling for there?
Just absolute transphobia. It's just an excuse to be transphobic, especially trying to hide it under the guise of, you know, protecting student athletes, as if athletes who, you know, athletes are going to have like more testosterone than others, even if they are cisgendered. So the fact that he's trying to pretend that that is the source of this issue, it's just an excuse to be transphobic.
Yeah, that's all it is. And obviously the fear is, We know what their base wants. He definitely, if he knows one thing, and he probably knows about one thing, it's that he knows that his base wants to be fired up and sent out with a target. Here are the people that you're supposed to harass. Here are the people you're supposed to intervene. So if the trans swimmer decides, no, actually, I'm allowed to swim, so I'm going to swim. Oh, you're intervening? What does that look like in practice? What do you think that looks like, audience, when it comes to the right? He wants violence against the trans community. He is, now he's being very careful with his language. He's just, I'm just saying intervene. I don't acknowledge, I'm not playing into the fact that the trans community has been the target of harassment and violence and murder for years and years and years. And not only have we not solved the problem, but as a society, we generally never even acknowledge that it happens. But I'm gonna send all of these Karens and Tuckers out to intervene in school sports. I'm gonna pretend that I care about high school women's sports. You'll notice that they don't even like to shroud it a little bit. They don't even like call for more funding or anything. Like they don't even really pretend, but they pretend enough to send people at these athletes. He, by the way, Charlie Kirk was suspended by Twitter recently for repeatedly misgendering Rachel Levine. And he, like a lot of these, the Ben Shapiro clones, constantly talk about this community. They don't often come right up to the edge of explicitly calling for violence against teen trans people, but they know what their audience wants, and they don't worry about consequences at this point, Brina.
Exactly. He knows exactly what his followers want. He knows why he has a following at all. I didn't even know that he got suspended, but that's temporary. Like he's gonna come back and he's gonna do it again. Do you think he's gonna learn his lesson? No. If anything, he's a martyr now and will be like, oh, look at these woke big tech companies trying to censor me. Follow me on Gab. It's just going to help him.
While we want to acknowledge the attacks against this community, especially today on a Trans Day of Visibility, we want to acknowledge also some of the good news. And we've looked really hard to try to find some. It's 2022, this is America. It's a bit of a scavenger hunt, but there is a bit. So starting on April 11th, US citizens will be able to select an X as their gender marker on their US passport application, and the option will become available for other forms of documentation next year. So it's a little bit of a slow rollout, but it's gonna be rolled out just in time for Trump's second term, and he'll destroy the whole thing. But right now, the State Department says that in June, US citizens could select their gender on applications without having to submit medical documentation. So that's as of last year, and it's very slowly getting moved out. We have some other measures too, including easing travel, providing resources for transgender children and their families, improving access to federal services and benefits, and advancing inclusion and visibility in federal data. For instance, the TSA will implement gender neutral screening at its checkpoints with changes in imaging technology, reducing the number of pat down screenings, removing gender identification from checkpoint screenings, and updating TSA PreCheck to include an X gender marker on its application. They've got a new website for the Department of Health and Human Services that offers resources for transgender and LGBTQI plus youth, their parents and providers. And so this is good. Like this is some, we're constantly calling on the Biden administration to use executive power and they basically never do it. They always like, they pretend that they're the small dog. Well, in this, they're the big dog, kind of, to the extent that they can change some documentation and pat downs. That's not nothing, I suppose. Sabrina, what do you think?
I mean, I especially like that last point of having like gender neutral pat downs. Yeah, I think nobody likes having that done to them by TSA. So if it changes the way that they do that a little bit, I think that's good for everybody all around, but especially for our trans folks out there as well.
Exactly. Look, I'm not a member of the trans community. I will leave it up to them to decide how you balance these sorts of limited administrative bureaucratic things against the all out assault. But anyway, there's a little bit more representation too. Elliot Page recently tweeted, so his character on the Umbrella Academy is going to come out as be revealed as trans in the upcoming season. I also just happened, it was linked on that, but Elliot said that wearing his Oscars 2022 tux was pure trans joy. And I know that even identifying these things in light of how much is being done on the other side is a very unbalanced scale, but we're trying. We are gonna go to our second break. We come back, we got lots more fun stuff to talk about, so stick around.
どうなんでしょうか。
Wow. Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
Put my name out your mouth.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
It was a G.I. Jane joke.
Keep my wife's
G.I. Jane のジョークだったんです。
I'm going to, okay?
I mostly just love the translation audio that goes over that. But anyway, you saw there the initial response from Chris Rock to what happened. Now, finally, last night, he formally responded to it, saying, and this is in a comedy show, how was your weekend? I don't have like a bunch of blank about what happened. So if you came to hear what that, I'm not. I had like a whole I wrote before this weekend, and I'm still kind of processing what happened. And look, he didn't say much, obviously. And he could have gone in two different directions. He could have directly addressed it. I think that he chose well. I think that he cannot avoid the fact that many people are going to show up to his shows expecting either for him to talk about it or maybe for some other random person to do something. But I think that him talking about it less is probably the best effect that he can have on this. What do you think, Sabrina?
I mean, yeah, I'd be curious to see what he finally does end up saying. Obviously, Will should not have smacked him like that. And then he can talk about it whenever he wants. But also, the joke kind of wasn't that, it wasn't even that funny. If, mm-hmm. Man, you got smacked by Will Smith and it wasn't even that funny, guy. But
next time, make it worth it, you're saying?
Well, I mean, these award shows, like they'll have people like comedians like Ricky Gervais, and he'll go up there and say much, much, much worse stuff. And we've never seen somebody, you know, do that, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, look, I don't expect him to talk much more about it publicly. I am sure it is a complicated mix of emotions that he must have been feeling in the immediate moment. I'm sure he hates his involvement in this. This is not what his appearance on the Oscars or his comedy is supposed to be about. The whole thing is just icky. I think a lot of people experience that. But there's one other part of this I want to talk about, and that is that after initially the Academy and all that not getting involved at all, they're now, I'm gonna jump ahead, saying that they're gonna be basically investigating him. Not Chris Rock, Will Smith. 15 days notice regarding his violations and sanctions. He might potentially be suspended or face expulsion from the Academy. And obviously, it's not up to a lot of people what happens in terms of the consequences, least of all me. I kind of want them to not do anything. Is that wrong? Like, I know I don't like what he did. I think a lot of people don't like what he did. But I kind of feel like, and I get that we're still talking about it, but like, I kind of feel like in terms of official stuff, it would be best to just move on. I don't think a lot of people believe that this is the beginning of Will Smith going on a rampage where he's showing up at comedy clubs around the country, or that like at the Golden Globes, he's gonna drop kick, you know, Emma Stone off the stage. I don't think anyone thinks it's gonna happen. And so while I generally am the person calling for more consequences in America, I kind of feel like it's not necessary here, but what do you think?
I'm surprised that they're going as far, and I think it's just because of the media attention that it is so acceptable to talk about, you know, the slap. I think that they feel the need to say something like this. And yet, you know, Harvey Weinstein didn't get any sort of suspension yep. at all. And so the fact that they would single out Will Smith for this. I think I agree with you. I don't think that he necessarily needs to be suspended, but maybe focus your eyes on bigger fish if that's what you're gonna start doing.
Exactly. Yeah, like the Me Too movement doesn't get a lot of media attention anymore, but that does not mean that culture of exploitation and harassment and all that is gone. Those issues continue. It would be very easy for the Academy to singularly focus on this and imply that therefore they're being responsive. So that's a great point. Okay, let's move on to, we have enough time, we have 4 minutes. Let's jump into this. The right-wing assault on voting rights continues. In this case, we're going to Arizona, where Doug Ducey yesterday signed legislation to expand US citizenship voting requirements in the state, in an obvious bid to get some people who had previously been totally legally allowed to vote to suddenly discover when they go to vote that they won't be able to. So Ducey disputed testimony from local officials and voting rights advocates who say an unknown number of voters, predominantly older, longtime Arizona residents, will be purged from the state's voter rolls because the last time they registered to vote, there was no requirement to provide proof of citizenship. Critics say that those voters would then need to register again. And based on the timeline of when that would happen, oops, maybe you don't get to participate in an election. One estimate, by the way, of how many people might be affected by this and have their ability to vote stripped away puts it as high as 192,000 voters. And I want you to remember that number because it's going to become very significant. But by the way, let's also note that while we're focusing on the citizenship thing, Ducey also signed, according to Greg Price, a 15-week abortion ban, legislation, quote unquote, protecting the integrity of girls' sports, a bill banning gender assignment surgeries for minors, and then the bill requiring proof of citizenship on voter registration forms. Now, this guy, Greg Price, is a big fan of all these moves. To give you an idea of who he is, his Twitter profile says that God is real and dudes rock. So he's one of those guys. But anyway, all of those pieces of legislation, horrible. It is difficult to keep pace with all the terrible legislation being passed in states around this country. But on the citizenship thing, that estimate of 192,000 votes, think about what effect that will have in an election. Maybe a close election, maybe a close presidential election like the last one where Joe Biden won by 10,000 votes. Think about how close some of these are. And do you think that that escapes them, that they don't know that, oops, maybe some of these older voters, maybe we ran the numbers and we found that they had shifted a lot towards the Democrats. I mean, after all, if you put up that last graphic again, you can see that the state has been trending towards the Democrats. It was R+9 back in 2008. It is still gonna be very tight this next time around. And so this is not the only voter suppression bill that they've passed in Arizona. Maybe we'll have time to talk about a few others. But this could by itself again be enough to throw a close election, Sabrina.
As if registering to vote isn't complicated enough, but I think they're gonna be shooting themselves a little bit in the foot here because a lot of older people, a lot of seniors are gonna find that they're going to be unregistered to vote. And they're probably not gonna get registered in time when they try to vote again. Especially in a state like Arizona, I think that they're gonna shoot themselves in the foot a little bit. But yeah, overall, why are they making it more complicated than it needs to be? I think we already know why. It sucks.
I think we do. Yeah. And by the way, while there is no way that they would have passed this if they had not run some sort of statistical analysis that led them to believe that it would hurt Democrats more, if you're a conservative, if you're a Republican watching this, you also know it's gonna disenfranchise some Republicans. Not enough for the Republicans to not do it. And they don't care that some Republicans who might have been voting for them for decades at this point will suddenly find that they can't vote. They don't care about that because they don't care about democracy. They'll strip away your right to vote as long as at the same time it strips two Democrats' rights away. So bear that in mind too. By the way, the craziness of some of this bill is we don't know exactly when it's gonna take effect. It is possible that you could successfully vote in the primary this year, and then when you try to vote in the general, find out that you can't. This is insanity. This is insanity. And it's happening in states around the country. And where are the Democrats? Asleep. They're not doing anything to protect your right to vote. Anyway, with all that said, that is the end of the first hour. If you've been listening on the podcast or on the linear platforms, thank you so much for joining us. But that's not all. If you're on the members section or on Twitch or on YouTube, Sabrina and I have got a number of other stories we're gonna talk about. We're gonna take a short break, but don't go anywhere because we'll be back in just a few. Barkley says, Sabrina's here. Oh, we definitely trashing on Disney today. No, you're a Disney adult, aren't you? You still love it. I think Sabrina has been frozen on a look of disgust from when I called her a Disney adult. I can hear her laughing, but her face is stuck in it. That is the face of someone who does not want to be affiliated with that damn mouse and his squad. And we got to get a screenshot of that and turn it into an emoji, by the way. Anyway, like, you think I'm what? Anyway.
Slander.
Fighting Gale, member for 15 months, says, happy Trans Day of Visibility, Dragon Squad. Thanks to Dragon Daddy and you all for standing in solidarity with us. I love you all. And the same to you. And thank you to our awesome inviting community. We might, for reasons that say a lot of bad things about American society and human psychology. We may not be as big of a community as like Ben Shapiro's or whatever, but we're inviting and our politics are not driven by hate. So we have those going for us.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.